My name is Pastor Mike. If you guys don't know who I am, it is good to see you tonight. Welcome to Living Word. If you're here for the first time, on your seat as well, there is a Connect card. If you're here with us for the first time, fill that out. You can drop it in the offering bucket, give it to someone, but give us a chance to connect with you. Amen. Give me 1 second here. Hallelujah. Hey, everyone turn around. I think there's more people in the tech booth than there are in the crowd. But we're getting ready for good stuff, right? We're getting ready for good things. That's awesome. Ay, ay, ay. Let's pray. Jesus, we love you so much. You're such a good God. You're good all the time. And Holy Spirit, we just acknowledge your presence. We thank you that you are here. You are the teacher. You're the one who opens our eyes, the one who gives us revelation. So we receive the ministry of the Holy Spirit in Jesus' name. Everyone say this with me. I receive the ministry of the Holy Spirit in Jesus' name. Ooh, that's so good. That's so good. In Jesus' name, amen. So I ministered on heaven this morning, okay? So God kind of gave me just kind of a different angle, how to do it. And how many know that heaven is our eternal home? The Bible says that we long in our spirits for heaven. We groan to be clothed with our heavenly body. And so we have this connection with heaven that, you know, we want to be there. We know we have to be there for now. So we were talking about heaven. And for whatever reason, you guys, I think it's the subject matter. I kept on getting emotional while I was speaking. I was having a hard time spitting out my words, right? And so I'm trying to talk, and I'm, you know, like that. And and I just want to speak, okay? I don't want to be, like, emotional. But to me, I love the subject of heaven. It's very close to me, and I think it does move me. But after the service, I had at least three women, maybe more, saying, Pastor Mike, we like when you like that. We like when you do. No men. No man came up and said that was good, but all women said that was good. We like it. We like that you were crying. So, come on, guys, where are you?
Right here.
Yeah. No, you're not right there. That's, they're there. They're in the back. Are there any men in the house tonight? Couple? Yeah. Okay. Come on in. I want to talk tonight about being a Holy Spirit church. No, just kidding. I'm just kidding. I'm messing myself up, okay? I'll just make myself laugh, but that's okay. I will preach to myself, and I will laugh, and I'll give myself an altar call and answer it and just have a good old time, whether you do or not, okay? Whether you have a good time, I plan on having one tonight. But anyways, I want to talk about what it is to be a Holy Spirit church, okay? Living Word is a Holy Spirit church. So in the landscape of all the Christian churches that are in our area and in our country and all around, you know, we all have a lot of things in common. We believe that the Word of God is God's truth, that it's God's will, that it was breathed from heaven for me. We believe it's alive, okay? So we believe that you must be born again to see the kingdom of God. You know, Christian churches believe that. I guess if you don't believe that, you might be called a Christian church, but you might not really be a Christian church. And then, you know, some other doctrines about baptisms and things like that. But not every church takes their stand with the Holy Spirit. Not every church takes their stand with the Holy Spirit. Okay, because the Holy Spirit is God. Okay, in the Trinity, the Father, Son, the Holy Spirit, the three in one, they are all God. They're all divinity, and so when you let the Holy Spirit be part of your church, when you acknowledge the Holy Spirit, you know, sometimes you get the Holy Spirit fire as well. Because on the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit came in tongues of fire and baptized people. You know what Jesus, know what John the Baptist said? He said, I baptize you with water, but there is one coming after me that will baptize you with fire. The Holy Spirit and fire, okay? So when you're a Holy Spirit church, sometimes there's fire, okay? And so that fire could sometimes be a little wild, okay? It comes with the Holy Spirit. And then some people have wild fire and it gets out of control and it freaks them out and they're just like, no, we're good. No more Holy Spirit. We're men. We need to control, right? So then there's not much of the Holy Spirit. But Living Word is a Holy Spirit church. And I want to talk a little bit about that tonight. It is a special thing. It is a unique thing, okay? In the business world, they say, what is your differentiator? What makes your business different than all the other businesses out there? They're all the same. Let's say you're all plumbers. Okay, you're all plumbers, but what makes your plumbing business different? What's your differentiator? I would say if we were going to take our stand with something that, you know, we preach the Word of God in faith and that we're a Holy Spirit church. That's where we differentiate from other churches. And that's where we'll stick our stake in and stay with that. Okay? Oh my goodness. Give me the Holy Spirit, you guys. Give me the Holy Spirit. Give me the rivers of living water. Give me the life of God. Give me the fire of God. Jesus said, it is better that I leave you. Really, Jesus? It's better you go? Like, we have you here. You do miracles. You provide all of our food. You provide everything. Really, Jesus? It's better that you go? He said, yes, because if I go, I will send you the Holy Spirit. So what does it mean to be a Holy Spirit church? Number one, you acknowledge the Holy Spirit, that the Holy Spirit was sent. We need the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, we need you. Holy Spirit, you are God. We need you, okay? And when you acknowledge the Holy Spirit will manifest in that atmosphere. You welcome the Holy Spirit. When I was first born again, we were teenagers, and we were blown away what it meant to be born again. It was just so, like, awesome. Like, whoa, this is like our spiritual eyes opened, and we could see good and evil, and we were only in evil, and we didn't know we were in evil, and when we were born again, we could see the evil we were in. And so we would talk about the devil, we'd talk about demons, because it was all, like, new to us. But we realized when we were talking about the devil and we'd be talking about, like, going into houses where there were, like, spirits manifesting and things knocking on walls in the houses, we noticed that when we started to talk about demonic things, a creepy presence would come in the room. And we'd all be like, ugh, you feel that? And I realized what you talk about and what you acknowledge will go ahead and manifest itself spiritually. Like, in your house, you should never turn on horror demonic movies for entertainment. Because what you entertain and what you welcome manifests itself in the spirit. In the spirit, we need to be careful what we're allowing in. Some people think of a horror movie like a roller coaster. It's like, oh, I love getting scared or whatever. But there's a spirit behind that, and you need to be careful what you allow into your house, because what you acknowledge and what you welcome manifests. But when you acknowledge and welcome the Holy Spirit also manifests. So Holy Spirit Church welcomes and acknowledges the ministry of the Holy Spirit. He's not on a sideline. He's not in a back room. He's not something that, you know, well, we took a survey with a church growth group, and they said if you don't mention the Holy Spirit, your church will grow by 13%. No. We're going to acknowledge the Holy Spirit. We're going to be thankful that he is here. There are some people who come into our church and they say, when I walk in, I feel the presence of God here. I just feel it. Well, if that's the case, thank God for that. Thank God. We don't want to wreck that, okay? The Holy Spirit is welcome. He's here. This is a wonderful thing. Amen? So being a Holy Spirit church, you acknowledge him. You welcome the Holy Spirit. And I think in this generation, this is just me talking, okay? In this generation of young people, they want authenticity. They want it to be real. They don't want phony religion. They're not going to come to a church with phony gimmicks and things like that. And if you're like me, when I was a young Christian, I'd read in the Bible that, whoa, they raised the dead. Wow, they healed people. Whoa, they were speaking in tongues. Whoa, he was translated. He was here, and then all of a sudden he ended up, this is amazing. And then you go to church and you don't see any of that. It's like, So this generation that wants authenticity wants to see the Bible come alive. If the Holy Spirit is all through the Bible and all through the book of Acts and the power of God is there, this generation is going to want to see that. And they're not going to be satisfied with religion. That's just my take, okay? That's my take about it. Now, Kenneth Hagin, you might not know who he is. He is in heaven now, but he's a Bible teacher and a prophet. He had a vision of Jesus. He actually had a couple. If you're interested in that type of stuff, he has a book. It's called I Believe in Visions. And so Jesus appeared to him a few times, and in one of them, Jesus said to him, if you do not teach this generation of people how to flow and minister in the Holy Ghost, then this whole manifestation will be gone in one generation. So if you don't teach people, if you don't talk about this stuff, listen, tonight we're talking about it. We're talking about the ministry of the Holy Spirit. If you don't talk about this stuff, then this stuff slips away. There's a whole generation that doesn't even know about it, doesn't even know the power of God, doesn't even know the move of the Holy Spirit. Amen? So I think it's important to talk about it. We need to be familiar with the Holy Spirit. I'm gonna pick on my son and my daughter-in-law for a moment. So when Michael first invited Allie to church, he knew we were a Holy Ghost church. And so, Allie, I don't even know if you were saved back then or whatever. I don't know your exact conversion, your birth date. But he would come to us and say, don't do anything weird in front of her. Don't, like, you know, he was so afraid for her to see the you know, people, you know, under the Spirit, speaking in tongues, things like that. Because as an unbeliever, you could be like, what is this? Like, this is strange, right? And so you run that risk. When you operate and flow in the Holy Spirit, you run that risk of people going, this is weird, right? But Allie, you're still here. What happened? What happened? We don't know. So she stuck around. She saw them. I always say this. Just get it over with as quick as possible. Just throw her into it. Let her experience all the craziness that is in the Bible. It's Bible, but sometimes it's, you know, the power and the manifestation of the Holy Spirit, and let the chips fall, because at least you get it over with. It's only new once, right? So get it over with, and then let that become the norm. Let people grow used to the power of God, the anointing of God, the presence of God, okay? Praise God. So here's an unfortunate statement, you guys. Satan, the devil, not every church, but Satan, the devil, has control and has robbed Jesus's church. Not every church, not every one of them, but he's gotten a really good stronghold on the money, okay? And he says, you're not supposed to be blessed. You're supposed to be poor. If you desire money, then you're covetous. And you're wrong. And the scriptures say everything but that. They said that you're the head and not the tail. You're above only and not beneath. All nations shall look at you and call you blessed. It goes on and on and on. The the blessing of the Lord, it makes you rich, and he shall add no sorrow with it. It goes on and on and on. Whether you know it, you are a blessed person. You are a rich person in the Spirit if you receive it. But Satan wants you not to be that way, because a poor church is not a powerful church. So if everyone in here believe God, okay, and begin to rise up in wealth, they would go ahead and do, money only makes you more of what you are. So if you love Jesus, you're going to go ahead and give and see the gospel move in our generation. If you don't love Jesus, you'll spend it on something else, gambling and other foolishness. But if you love Jesus, your money has a mission. Okay? And the devil knows that. He tries to strangle the church. If you're uncomfortable with money, or people talking about money in church and this and that, do a self-check and say, why is that? Does Satan have a stronghold in me? Because a stronghold is a thought in your mind. And you need to get some word and undo that and pull down those strongholds. But like if I'm in business and I have competition in business, say I'm a plumber and there's another plumber, okay? If I made him think that he had to charge just $5 above cost for every job, that's his profit, $5 every job, and he feels guilty asking for more, he will go out of business soon. Because if you're if you're not growing financially, then you don't have the means to do more in that way. And the devil has done that to churches, and he's done that to people. Amen. But he's also done that with the Holy Spirit. There are whole churches that will say tongues, speaking in tongues, is of the devil. Where did that come from? On the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit was poured out, and they spoke with other tongues. Okay? There's lots of instances of that. But the devil will make whole denominations think that that's the work of the devil. There's only one sin that God doesn't forgive, Jesus said. Only one. You can do anything and still repent, be broken, and God will forgive you. But Jesus said there's only one sin you won't do, is when you call the work of the Holy Spirit the work of the devil. That's blaspheming the Holy Spirit. So for me, I'm just like, whoa, bro. You know, I'm getting away from you. If you're calling the tongues of the devil and the work of the Holy Spirit the devil, and this is wrong. But Satan's got in there, and he's gotten whole churches afraid of the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Okay? But we need to talk about this stuff, you guys. We need to talk about this stuff. This needs to be our normal lives. We need the Holy Spirit power. Jesus said, "Tarry you in Jerusalem, and not many days hence the Holy Spirit shall be poured out, and you shall be filled with power." If the devil can make you afraid of the Holy Ghost, guess what? You don't get your power. Robbed. Whole churches robbed of people acknowledging, getting the power that God promised for us. How many people want the Holy Spirit? Me too. Me too. Whoo. Let me read some scriptures to you here. The baptism in the Holy Spirit, Acts 2. It says this: when the day of Pentecost arrived, they were all together in one place. And suddenly there came from heaven a sound like a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. And divided tongues as of fire appeared to them and rested on each one of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. Everyone say, filled with the Holy Spirit. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now, when you're born again, the Holy Spirit abides in you. Your spirit becomes one with the Lord, okay? And you are a temple of the Holy Spirit, the temple of the Lord. But when you are baptized in the Holy Spirit, your cup is filled and runs over with the power and the presence of God. So it's a literal baptism in the Holy Spirit and in his power. Acts 19 says this: and it happened while Apollos was at Corinth, and Paul passed through the inland country and came to Ephesus, that he found some disciples, and he said to them, what did he say to them? What did he ask first? He said, "Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed?" Paul knew this was super important. Oh, wow, disciples, did you guys get the Holy Ghost? Did you get the memo? There's a Holy Ghost? This is good, right? But we go to find out that these guys were not born again yet. And they said, "No, we haven't even heard there is a Holy Spirit." And he said, "Into what then were you baptized?" And they said, "John's baptism." So they weren't even baptized in Jesus to be saved yet. They were baptized under John before Jesus, okay? So, and Paul said, "John baptized in the baptism of repentance, telling the people to believe in the one who was to come after him, that is Jesus." On hearing this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus, or we can say they were born again. Now, immediately after that, okay, and when Paul laid his hands on them, and on hearing this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus, and when Paul laid his hands on them, the Holy Spirit came on them, and they began speaking in tongues and prophesying, and there were about 12 men in all. 12 men in all. They were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues and prophesy. Some people are freaked out by speaking in other tongues, okay? Now, for me, when I was born again for about a month, okay? I went away to college. I came home for my first break a month into college, and my sister said, "Hey, I heard you were born again." It's Sister Pastor Laurie. She's not here. She goes, "I heard you were born again. Did you hear about the Holy Spirit?" I said, "I do not know that there is such thing as a Holy Spirit. I knew nothing, you guys. I was a new baby Christian. I just knew I wasn't going to hell, and I was very happy about that. But she said, did you hear that? There's the Holy Spirit. I said, no, tell me more about this Holy Spirit. And she began to open up the scriptures and said, you need to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. Jesus said, it's better that he goes away, that it's your power. If you look here, that when Paul met these disciples, he prayed and laid hands on them. Do you want it? She said, do you want it? And I'm like, yes, I want it. I was so young in the Lord that I had no bad teaching to teach me away from the Holy Spirit. All I had was scripture. It's all I had was scripture. And you can see plainly over and over and over and again that God poured out his spirit on his church and empowered them. And she laid hands on me, and I felt this presence of God come on me. It felt really light. And she's like, okay, now speak. Like, speak, you know, just let it flow out of you. And I could feel something in my belly, but I didn't speak it out. I didn't know what to do. I didn't know what was going on. And she goes, listen, this is important. Do you believe you received? I said, yes, I believe I received it. Do you have the Holy Spirit? I said, yes, I have the Holy Spirit. She goes, well, when you go home or back to your dorm or whatever, just, you know, pray to God and just begin to pray. And, you know, if you feel something come up out of your spirit, begin to speak out those words. And it was probably within a few weeks, I was in my bed at nighttime, and I felt the Holy Spirit in my spirit, and I began to speak out these words in a different language. Whoa, what is this? This is cool. And as you begin to pray, it feels like a river just flowing out. It just comes up out. It comes up out, okay? Now, the Bible says that you're not to stand in a church and preach to everyone in tongues. Shandala, shandala, shandala. Because it doesn't mean anything, okay? It doesn't mean anything. Tongues are used in a prophetic, tongues an interpretation type of gift. It's prophetic. But mostly, your speaking in tongues is your prayer language. The Bible says that you pray the will of God, that you pray the mysteries of God. And you are going to have more revelation and more breakthrough in your own personal time praying in the Holy Ghost, okay? Let me just say this. If you're not baptized in the Holy Spirit, you need the Holy Spirit, okay? We just got to get it out there. You need the Holy Spirit. You need that power. You need that ability in your life. Amen? So, for me, just looking through history, Maria Woodworth Edder was a woman evangelist in the 1800s, 1900s. If you want to read a great life story of someone, I read a lot of like biographies of men and women of God. I like the ones with the women of God because they were under such social pressure not to do what they were doing, but God used them anyways. So it's like, wow, if God could use them in that time. So she's a woman in the 1800s alone on the evangelistic field, but she was a very Holy Spirit minister, and she you know, records in her writings that they were speaking in tongues in the late 1890s, that those manifestations would come. As the Spirit of God would come, there would be people speaking in other tongues. Now, there was a guy named Charles Farham, and he was a guy who opened a Bible school in Topeka, Kansas, and this is like 1899 he opened it, or maybe earlier. And he put a little ad in the paper and said, we have a Bible school. And people from around the country found out about this. And they would show up at his Bible school. And they said, how did you hear about this? They said, the Holy Ghost just prompted me to come to Topeka, Kansas. Isn't that weird? They were just prompted by the Holy Spirit to come to this Bible school. So in 1899, the closing days of 1899, he gives his students, they said, study Acts chapter 2. This baptism of the Holy Spirit, is it for today? Is it for today? And he left and he went out to a meeting on New Year's. And on New Year's night, the Holy Spirit fell and baptized the one student in the Holy Spirit. And I think she spoke all day and all night in Chinese. And the Holy Spirit began to manifest in this school. And then one by one, the students started to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. Now in America, these are the beginning manifestations of the Holy Spirit Pentecost in America, okay? Now, I am guessing somewhere in the world where people are hungry, God may have been pouring out the Holy Spirit in other parts of the world, but this was happening in America in 1900. Now, has anyone ever heard of Azusa Street? Azusa Street. Azusa Street is very synonymous with Pentecostal outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Now, Charles Farham had a student named William Seymour. He was a black man with one eye. He had an injury, and his eye was like blind. And in the days of segregation, he could not even sit in the same room as the other white students, and he had to sit in the hall with the door open to hear the Bible teaching in this school. And now Charles Farham goes ahead and moves maybe to Texas and then ends up in Los Angeles. And by 1906, in Los Angeles, they started a prayer meeting. And in this prayer meeting, it began to grow and grow and grow, and the baptism of the Holy Spirit began to break out. He was preaching on the baptism of the Holy Spirit, but was not baptized in the Holy Spirit yet. But he was preaching Acts chapter 2. Remember what I said, when you acknowledge and speak about the Holy Spirit, he will manifest. Amen? We need to acknowledge and speak about God more and let him manifest in our lives. Amen? So he began to preach about it, and then the Holy Spirit broke out. They had to move from this house, okay, over to a stable on Azusa Street, and then for multiple years, they had nonstop meetings of just, they were basically Holy Spirit meetings. He would basically put his head in a box, and he wouldn't take his head out of the box until he knew what God wanted to do for the service. And great miracles, great manifestations, great things. That's why Azusa Street is such a famous place, because of the strong presence of God that came out of Azusa Street. So let me tell you about Living Words, 1 month Holy Spirit meeting in the 1990s. So back in the 1990s, we invited a woman evangelist. I guess she was an evangelist. I don't even know what she was. She would sing and she would minister. And her name is Vicki Jameson Peterson, and she is in heaven right now. And she had a meeting, and she would sing, and you would feel this tangible presence of God come into the room, really thick, right? And everyone just be like, whoa, you know, this is cool. And in her meeting, she would invite people up to read from her Bible, Acts chapter 2, okay? It's the same scripture that I read to you. And when the day of Pentecost arrived, they were all together in one place, and suddenly there came from heaven a sound like a mighty rushing wind. Every service started with reading that same scripture. Acknowledge the Holy Spirit. Acknowledge the Holy Spirit. Acknowledge the Holy Spirit. And people would come up and read it. And as they're reading it, they would get drunk in the Holy Spirit. And their words would start to slur. And they couldn't finish it. And they would fall out under the power of the Holy Spirit. A lot of people are freaked out by people who fall under the power of the Holy Spirit. Wait a second, what is that? Okay? When the God of the universe decides to rest on this frail mortal body, he's not going to give, you're going to give. And that's usually what happens. You just buckle under that power, okay? And it's not a bad thing. And so they would come, and they would try to get through reading it, and they would get drunk in the Holy Spirit, slur their words, and then fall out. And she says, anyone else want to give it a try? And be like, I can do it. Someone in the crowd always, I can do it. And they get up there, and they'd read, and they'd be real good. And then all of a sudden, you'd see them like, and we'd all start laughing. Like, what in the world? And they would just get drunk in those, and they couldn't finish it. And there was such a strong manifestation of the Holy Spirit. And what started to happen in those meetings is there was, well, I won't get into that. So drunk in the Holy Spirit, where's James? James, I'm going to have you run down here real quick. Come on up here. Yep. Run, baby, run. Run fast. He's in the back. Drunk in the Holy Spirit is when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and all of a sudden, you're just, it kind of messes you up. Because he's so strong. So last week, James, jump up here. You got to come up here with me. Come on, jump. Oh, gee. He's young, right? This is James, everyone. So last week we were ministering for people and praying for people, and we prayed for James and then moved on, right? And then the service was over, and I'm out in the hall, and I'm talking to someone, And then James comes stumbling out, and he was jacked up in the Holy Spirit. Can you explain what happened to you like last week?
So last week I came up to the altar, and I remember when Pastor Mike laid hands on me, I like fell out on the floor, and my whole body was like tingling, like head to toe, and I couldn't get up, and I couldn't open or close my hands, and I had to go like stumble to the bathroom and splash water on my face. And then when I came out, I was like stumbling out, and Pastor Mike was like, "You look drunk right now."
And he's like, "I am." And he kept on going, right? Touch him, Father. Touch him in Jesus' name. Touch him. Touch him. You can go. You can go. Touch him. So here's the thing. Like, what is that? What is it, right? So you're just praying for someone, but the Holy Spirit takes over at that point. He's like, okay, we're going to minister to you. We're going to go ahead and do it. And sometimes you just act like you're drunk. In Acts chapter 2, they're baptized in the Holy Spirit. They stumble out into the street. They begin to speak in other tongues. And people are like, whoa, these people are blasted. It's 9 in the morning. What's up with them, right? They're acting very drunk. And Peter had to get up and say, "We are not drunk as you suppose, but this is the Holy Ghost," right? So people have been pulled over before by the police. And they're like, "Excuse me, miss, have you been drinking?" And they're like, "Nope, I just been to church and I'm drunk in the Holy Spirit." And he's just like, "What?" You know, so it's like, you may look drunk, but you're not drunk on wine. Actually, the Bible says this: "Be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be ye filled with the Holy Spirit." There are some people that are like, "I just need to take a sip. I need to take the edge off. I need to get my anxiety down." You don't need to turn to this. You need to turn to this and get filled with the Holy Spirit and just have the peace that passes all understanding. Some people have a theology of drinking. You need to just let it go, let it go, let it go. It's a work of the flesh, and you will not have the fullness of the Spirit while you indulge in the flesh. So in this meeting that we had, night after night, she would ask people to come up and read from Acts chapter 2. They couldn't do it. They'd fall down in the Spirit. There was ministry in the Holy Spirit, and people began to laugh in the Spirit, like belly laugh in the Spirit. And we were like, "Whoa, this is new. What's this?" You know, we were a little freaked out by it. Like, all of a sudden, there'd be waves of laughter. You could feel the Holy Spirit just like waves going through, and people would just begin to laugh and get joy. And we were like, "What is this? What's going on?" And I remember me with my analytical mind just kind of like sitting on the front row, right, going, "What would it, like, this is all crazy to me. This is all new," or whatever. And then the Holy Spirit hits me, and you just feel his presence, that warmth, that peace, that goodness. And then, for whatever reason, you find everything hilarious, and you begin to not like ha ha ha. It's like ha, ha, like belly laugh, and it's coming out of you like rivers of joy, and it's just, and just the more you laugh, the more you get drunk in the Holy Spirit. And we were like, "What? Like, God, what are you doing? Like I know this is like, I was super uptight before that meeting. And by the end of that meeting, I was just like, hey, you know, just like, I'm free in God. Like, no more uptightness, you know, just totally free in the Holy Spirit. And we found the scripture in Psalm 126. It says, "When the Lord restored the fortunes of Zion, we were like those who dream. Then our mouths were filled with laughter and our tongue with shouts of joy. Then they said among the nations, the Lord has done great things for them. Yes, the Lord has done great things for us, and we are glad." The Bible says that God looks at his enemies and laughs. Joy is a fruit of the Spirit. And when you begin to, it begins to bubble up and you begin to laugh, it is joy releasing from the inside of you. And it is something that sets you absolutely free. Amen. Can't explain it. Don't know why God does that. I know he does do that. That was in the 90s, and that began to kind of break out all across the body of Christ. different people would have manifestations in their meeting of this joy. And I don't know, it was just, it was amazing. That meeting went on for 30 days. We were at church every night for 30 days. We'd stay really late, we'd sometimes be leaving at 1 a.m. Our kids would be leaving at 1 a.m, but somehow you just felt refreshed, filled up with God's joy, and you were ready the next night to come back again and do it all again. We started to have people come from other churches. People were like, I hear that something is happening down at Living Word. We must investigate this ourselves. So we had pastors come from other churches. And so by this time, everyone's like, you know, everyone's just like immediately free. They're entering in. They've already, all the bondages have been broken. They're free. But you could tell the visitors because they were like, you know, just really tight, right? And you know, sometimes God would touch them, sometimes not. We've had, it was fun. It was a fun time in the Holy Spirit. Amen. And and the Holy Spirit is still doing what the Holy Spirit does. What is ministry in the Holy Spirit? 1 Corinthians 14. Pursue love and earnestly desire the spiritual gifts, especially that you may prophesy. When you minister in the Holy Spirit, you work with the Holy Spirit. And the Bible says that there are spiritual gifts, okay, that manifest when you operate in the Holy Spirit. So when we have a time and we pray for, you know, we ask people to come forward and we pray for them, I notice a lot of times when I'll go to lay my hands on someone or even before I do it, all of a sudden a word of knowledge will come up in my spirit, okay? It's a word about something or about their situation or something. It wasn't there before that, and you'll just begin to pray that out by the Holy Spirit, and, you know, And it will just be different for every person. It's just spiritual gifts manifesting when you give room for the Holy Spirit to do that. Sometimes there's words of wisdom. Words of wisdom is when you speak about future events that are going to happen in people's lives. There could be healings. There could be miracles. All of this kind of happens in that ministry of the Holy Spirit. So what is your part? Like when you come to church, what is your part in a Holy Spirit service? What are you supposed to do? What is your responsibility? I would say this. I would say this, that number one, you need to have a heart to enter in to what God is doing, especially in worship. Okay? As we begin to worship and we begin to magnify the Lord and we begin to lift up his name, amen? The Bible says that God inhabits the praises of his people. And the Holy Spirit just begins to come and rest in this place. But if everyone's holding back, if people are not entering in, if they're not giving themselves into worship, it's kind of a grieving atmosphere for the Holy Spirit. So we need to have an attitude where we go ahead and we enter into worship, where we go ahead and we pull on the anointing that God has for us. And we need to hunger after God. Okay? Hungry people do different things. Have you ever heard of the story of the son who went to his father? It's in the Bible. He said, "Give me my inheritance now." And so his father gave him his inheritance, and he went and he lived a sinful lifestyle. He spent it on drinking, partying, and women until he had no more money, okay? And what was his turnaround? What was his turnaround when he actually woke up, okay? It wasn't that, you know, he remembered his father's house. It wasn't that he didn't have any money. It said when he said he was so hungry that he looked at the pig's food that he was feeding to the pigs, and he said, wait a second. Like, I am so hungry right now that I would eat pig's food. But in my father's house, there's more than enough. In my father's house, there's care for me. And he decided to return. But it wasn't until he was so hungry that he woke up. In church, you need to be hungry for the things of God. If you're not hungry for God, you just need to start to confess that. Father, I hunger after you. I am starving after you. You need to confess what you want. Amen? A lot of people aren't hungry for God because they're filled so much with worldly things. But we need to hunger after God. And when we come to service, we need to hunger after what he has for us, okay? God, if you're going to move tonight, God, I just pray that you move. Father, I just open my heart. Holy Spirit, have your way in this place and just begin to hunger after God because God answers hunger. And then if there's an altar call, you guys, if we say, you know, let's come forward, we want to minister or things like that, don't walk up front, run, up front, because that shows God your hunger. Amen. It isn't like, well, I guess I'll come. Just go for it. Amen. Go for it. Enter in. And it just creates this atmosphere of the Holy Spirit. Let me tell you about my house real quick. And I remember what I said, what you acknowledge you had. When we bought a house in Whitman 5-ish years ago, we don't live there anymore. And this house was in odd condition, but worse than the condition of the house was the condition of the owner of the house that we were buying it from. a very dark person who did dark things in this house, and it was he was just a really demonically strange person, right? And so I'm negotiating with this person about the house. I would go over there, I'd talk to him, and you know, trying to make the sale go through, because he was a little nuts too, a little crazy. Ran off all the real estate people. No one would work with him. He was losing the house. And the only reason I was talking to him, number one, was God, but number two was his mechanic called me up and said, "Hey, I'm going to help sell this guy's house. Do you want to buy a house?" I'm like, this sounds really weird. It's probably God. Yeah, let's do it. So I would go and I would meet with them, and it was just such a creepy feeling in this house, just such darkness. Later on, the neighbor told me about some of the things that happened in the house. I'm just like, ugh, don't ever tell my kids, okay? Just creepy. So then we pass papers. We get the house. The house is ours. And so the first thing we do is we gather around a circle. We gather people together, and we say, "Satan, you have no place in this house anymore. We are the rightful owners in the name of Jesus. Every spirit, every devil, you get out of this house now in the name of Jesus. And right now, Holy Spirit, we welcome you into this house. Come and be filled in this house. Angels of God, come and make this your habitation. The work of God is welcome in this place, and we give it to you now in Jesus' name. Amen." And immediately the atmosphere of that place was different. It was like whoosh, the darkness leaves, the Holy Spirit comes, and it was so different. There was such a spirit, the feeling of peace and joy in that house. Such a spirit. But I knew from before it was not that way before. Amen. Who you acknowledge will manifest themselves. If we acknowledge the devil and everything, the devil will manifest himself. If we acknowledge the Holy Spirit and God, the Holy Spirit will manifest himself. Your part to play in the Holy Spirit, be hungry, be eager, enter into worship, hunger and thirst after him. In Jesus' name. I'm going to end with this, okay? Nah, I'm not even going to end with that. I'm going to end with that we just said. Amen? In Jesus' name. How many people are hungry for the Holy Spirit? Hungry, hungry, hungry. The Bible says, "Those who hunger and thirst after righteousness shall be filled." Yeah, the music team can come up. Music team shall come up. "Those who hunger and thirst after righteousness shall be filled."